Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari.
Satishi Shimad, His Divine Grace. Avaya Chananar Vakadana Gosami Shila Prabhupad Kichai. Iskan, Founder Acharya, Shila Prabhupad Kichai. Anandakoti, Voishnav Vrinda Kichai. Namacharya, Shila Vridas Bhakur Kichai. Ren Se Gohoshi Krishna Chaitanya. Rabba Nityananda Shitwe Digadad Ha Shiva Siddhi Go Bhaktivinoda Kichai. Shri Radhakrishna, Govinda, Sam Kundradakunda, Giri Govardhan Kijai, Vrindavanam Kijai, Machuradam Kijai, Jagannathaswami Kijai, Yamunamai Kijai, Srimati Vilasite Kijai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Kijai, Govrindananda Hanani. All glories to some of the devotees. All glories to some of the devotees. All glories to some of the devotees. All glories. Shri Guru Govinda Shilpopad Ki Jai. Okay, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th chapter, text 14. Chapter 14, text 14. So, and the chapter entitled Ideal Family Life, just appropriate. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Siddhair Yogya Vasishtar Tahai Kapayet Vitim Atmanaha Shishi Swatvam Chajan Pragyan Padavim Mahatam Iyat Siddhaya Yajna Vasishtartahi Kalpayat Vrittivatmanaha Sheshvatvam Chashan Pratya Adavim Mahatamihat Siddharyajna Vasishtartahi Kapayat Vrittimatmanaha Sheshvatvam Chashan Pratya Padavim Mahatamiha Siddharyajna Vasishtartahi Kapayat Vrittimatmanaha Sheshvatvam Chajan Pratya Padavim Mahatam Piha. Siddhai, things obtained by the grace of the Lord.
Things obtained by the grace of the Lord.
Yajna Avashishta Artahai. Things obtained after a sacrifice
is offered to the Lord.
Or after the recommended Pancha Shunya Yajna is performed. Kalpayet, one should consider Vitim, the means of livelihood. Atmanaha,
for the self.
Sheshe,
at the end.
Swatvam, so-called proprietorship
over one's wife, children, home,
business, and so on. Chajan,
giving up.
Pradyaha, those who are wise. Padavim,
the position.
Mahatam,
of the great personalities,
who are fully satisfied
with
spiritual consciousness.
Iyat,
should achieve.
Translation,
an intelligent person should be satisfied with eating prasad, food offered to the Lord, or with performing the five different kinds of yajna, pancha, shunya, shuna, sorry. By such activities, one can give up attachment for the body and so-called proprietorship with reference to the body. When one is able to do this, he is firmly fixed in the position of a mahatma. So you can repeat,
an intelligent person
should be satisfied with eating prasada.
Food offered to the Lord.
Or with performing
the five different kinds of
yajna.
Pancha suna.
By such activities,
one can give up attachment for the body.
And so-called proprietorship
with reference to the body.
When one is able to do this,
is firmly fixed
in the position of a mahatma.
So purport by His Divine Grace,
A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nature already has an arrangement to feed us. By the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is an arrangement for the eatables for every living entity within the 8,400,000 forms of life. Eko bahunam yo vidadati kama. Every living entity has to eat something, and in fact, the necessities for his life have already been provided by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord has provided food for both the elephant and the ant. All living beings are living at the cost of the Supreme Lord, and therefore one who is intelligent should not work very hard for material comforts. Rather, one should save his energy for advancing in Krishna consciousness. All created things in the sky, in the air, on land, and in the sea belong to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and every living being is provided with food. Therefore, one should not be very much anxious about economic development and unnecessarily waste time and energy with the risk of falling down in the cycle of birth and death. Phew. So, siddharidya vashishtartai kapayed ritmatmanaha sheshvatvam tajan pragya paravim mahatam yat. So, Om Gana Timidanda Shah Gananjana Shlakya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Maha. So reading this verse, I very much remember the verse from the Nectar of Instruction, Achyahara Prayasascha Pajakupam Nirmagraha Janasangascha Loyam Cha Sadhir Bhakti Pranashuti. So these are the different methods or different ways that one can lose his Krishna consciousness. And of course, you know, collecting too much, over-endeavoring for material things, following the rules and regulations just ritualistically, or not following the rules and regulations. Niyamagraha, associating janasanghas with ordinary people, and being greedy for mundane things. So a lot of these things, a lot of the points that were brought out by Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī in this particular verse that I was just quoting from the Nectar of Instruction are relating very much to the verse here. So, you know, collecting, overeating, over-endeavoring, being greedy. I mean, practically every single point, except for the niyamagraha, is actually mentioned here in this particular verse. So, what does this mean? How do we apply this? It says, through proper deliberation, an intelligent person should be satisfied with eating prasad. Let's take that first. In other words, the first word here is siddhai, things obtained by the grace of the Lord. Does that mean that we should just sit back? I mean, let's take the example of Śrīvastākura. Śrīvastākura never endeavored one bit to maintain himself. In fact, he was asked by Chaitanya Mahāprabhu, how do you maintain yourself and your family? He had a family. He had a child, at least one child, a wife, a house, and other family members. And he said, I have this 1-2-3 technique. He said, if I have to fast 3 times or 3 days in a row, I'll drown myself in the Ganges. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahāprabhu heard that, he said, what are you saying, Śrīvastākura? Even if the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, goes hungry or goes begging, then you will have enough to eat. So that's an interesting technique. Basically, blackmailing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, if you don't give me food, I'm drowning myself. So, should we follow this particular technique? That Krishna, if you don't support me and my family, I'm going to kill myself, commit suicide. No. We should not follow that technique. In spite of this particular injunction that one should be satisfied by things obtained by the grace of the Lord. Let's unpack that particular statement. Grace of the Lord means not only things that just like walk in your door or are given to you freely, but by Krishna's grace, we have intelligence, as Krishna says in the Gita. I'm the intelligence of man, I'm the strength of the strong, etc., like that. So, this is also given by Krishna, you know, the ability to do something, the strength to do something, the intelligence to do something. So we have to make some endeavor as to bodily maintenance. It's not that you should not go to a doctor, or not pay for the doctor, or not support your family. It's like I'm sure Jishnu works and supports his family. It's not that he's just sitting there and in Alatra and just saying, you know, Krishna, send me money, or else, you know, we're all going to starve to death. No, you have to make some endeavor. And actually in the Gita, we talk about the 5 factors of action. The super soul is only one of those 5 factors of action. The other factors are actually the place, the doer, etc., like that. You can read the Gita and understand that. So we have to make some endeavor as to bodily maintenance. We have to make some endeavor to take care of our health. This is important. I mean, unless you happen to be like Śrīvastākura. I don't want to be like Donald Trump kicking kids out of You know, he got criticized for criticizing a mother and a child. So, yeah, anyway, we have to make some endeavor. So, how much endeavor should we make? And what about Prabhupada's instruction of simple living, high thinking? You know, I remember every time I think about this simple living, high thinking, I think about the early days of New Vrindavan, and where the devotees were struggling to bring a washing machine up the hill, and Prabhupada was laughing at them. And this was an old type washing machine, you know, with a wringer on the top and everything like that. So it was electric. And the devotees had not yet calculated that there was no electricity in the top of the hill. So there were like four or five people just like with a giant washing machine, because you couldn't get a truck up the hill. At least that those days they didn't have four-wheel drivers. The devotees didn't have four-wheel drive vehicles. So they were struggling to take this thing up the hill. And Prabhupada was laughing. It's Ugra Karma. Ugra Karma. And, you know, I remember the early days in New Vrindavan. It was really austere. I mean, in the middle of the winter, taking a bath in the river with a milk jug, you know, cut up milk jug so you can pour it over your head. And it was pretty, it was very austere. It was very austere. So, but on the other hand, people were living. You know, that was definitely simple living. And I remember the early days here in New Goloka. I lived in the forest there in the cabin, pouring water over my head in the middle of the winter, and the water freezing when it, by the time it hit my feet. And it was simple living. So there's nothing wrong with that. However, one has to consider long term whether that is practical. I mean, just like now we have an air conditioner here. A good air conditioner. So one has to consider what is practical renunciation insofar as maximizing your Krishna consciousness. I mean, for example, there's an air conditioner. Let's make a reference to that. So because it's not so humid in here, the devotees are able to hear better. I mean, like yesterday, I was walking in the park, Okanichi Park, and it's very humid out. And it was much... It was a great struggle to hear my japas I was chanting because it was so humid. I mean, it wasn't hot. It was humid. So we need to make some adjustment insofar as being able to maximize our Krishna consciousness. You know, if I try to eat like Raghunath Das Goswami, then probably either my mind will be disturbed or I'll be very weak, and I won't be able to execute my service. So the whole point here as far as appropriate renunciation is to maximize your service to Krishna. That's the whole point. You know, it's a maximization. It's like a bell curve that if you accept too little, it's all the way down there. And if you accept too much, it's all the way down there too, the amount of service you can do. So it's appropriate renunciation to accept what's required for maximizing your hearing and chanting and serving Prabhupada's mission. That's what should be accepted. Not less, not more. And it takes, for each person, it's individual. It's not the same for everybody. And so here we're talking about householders. You know, householders, you have children. You have to make some endeavor. And your service is... maintaining the children, bringing them up in Krishna consciousness. I mean, very, very important service for the households. That's why we're putting so much stress on the school here. Because it's a service. Otherwise, we could say, oh, it's over-endeavor to build, you know, a school building. It's over-endeavor to have air conditioning. You know, we can make that statement. But we have to think about our mission. You know, what is our purpose in life? Whether we're householders, brahmacharis, grihasthas, sannyasis, what is our purpose? I mean, just recently I was talking to one of my godbrothers, and he was telling me that, you know, he had to upgrade his flight. And I said, why did you do that? So much money. He said, well, because I actually fainted. You know, so he had to do that. You know, so it's not over-endeavor. It's not a waste of Krishna's money. It's, I mean, I don't have to do that yet because, you know, my health is a little bit better. So that's appropriate renunciation. And Srila Prabhupada wanted us to show this to the world, the simple living, high thinking, you know, appropriate renunciation, and showing how the modern society, which we're engaged in, which we're working in, which we're preaching in right now, how the modern society leads to over-endeavor. I was thinking this, also we had a discussion the other day in our GBC meeting about, you know, farm communities. And recently in one of the farm communities that I'm in charge of, there was a, they have a small farm project. There's a nice devotee, Tapa Punya, who's heading up this. And they put out a nice movie about this. How, by having a tractor on a farm, and of course on most of our farms they have tractors, modern conveniences, you're actually endeavoring too much. And this whole particular video was based on the point of how if you have a oxen, you can actually avoid having a tractor, you can live simply, you can avoid getting entangled and over-endeavor and everything like that within this world. So anyway, so many of us are not engaged in that particular activity, and I'm not criticizing anyone who's not engaged, and you know, certainly I'm not, because that's not my service. But Prabhupada wanted us to show how simple living, high thinking is practical, how living very simply like that is practical. So anyway, so I've been observing a number of examples of that, you know, amongst, because here are the verses about household life. For example, I was just staying with a nice couple in Chicago. Now you may say, Chicago is simple living, high thinking. So this couple, every year I stay with the same couple in Chicago. So this couple, the man works, maintains his family, but the lady, every day she goes to the temple, works 8 hours in the temple for doing something, for preparing several hundred plates of prasadam that are going to be distributed at the universities. And every morning, the man, before going to work, he engages in deity worship. Not every morning, 5 mornings a week. He does deity worship, goes on the altar, and he dresses. Well, there they have the acharyas, you know, the different acharyas on the altar, which we don't have here, but in many temples they do. And so, anyway, we don't have enough people who do that. So he dresses the acharyas every morning. Then he takes a train. There's nothing wrong with the train. I'm not criticizing it. They're an ideal example. I'm making the point that they're an ideal example. And then he takes a train and he goes into Chicago, comes back, and then goes to the temple of Destiny. So I'm staying with this couple. I didn't see them the whole time I was there. You know, I stay in their house. They come by and see it. They say goodbye to me when they go into the temple in the morning. That's the last time I see them. A man and his wife. So I was just thinking, wow. And, you know, he's been working a good job. He could afford a big house and all that other nice thing. But he's, and his wife, are engaged fully in Krishna consciousness, which is, you know, such an amazing example. Amazing example, you know, and I asked, you know, do you go on any vacation? She said, well, sometimes we don't have the college program, then I can go on vacation. Isn't that amazing? So anyway, I'm not saying everybody should be like that. I'm not making that sort of propaganda, but they really personify, this couple really personifies this particular verse of just being satisfied with, you know, what is absolutely required, not more, not less, and serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this way, the husband has actually given his wife to Krishna, and the wife is giving her husband to Krishna. And so, they have no question, they have no question or mentality of proprietorship over everything. Now, another important point here that I wanted to mention, you know, apart from this particular example, is the first sentence here is, an intelligent person should be satisfied with eating prasad, food offered to the Lord. So, what does this mean? Of course, sometimes we have certain health requirements and we can't always eat the temple prasad for one reason or other, and that's all right. But that means that we should be eating prasad, food cooked by devotees. That's the definition of, well, the definition of prasad means mercy, but the definition of prasad in reference to food means something cooked by devotees, something offered by devotees to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so sometimes in the name of prasad or in the name of our hunger, we do things that are different. I remember in the early days, and I always give this example, in the early days of when I was first traveling with a sannyasi, the idea was that we should maximize our preaching and minimize, you know, this is like too much monetization, minimize our engagement in getting food. So we'd go to the supermarket and we would buy, you know, whatever food we'd buy, you know, or wheat bread, Thousand Island dressing, didn't have any eggs or anything in it, you know, some passing by, you know, some butter, things like that, you know, bread, butter, salad, and take it in a bag and just say Shri Vishnu to the bag. And that was our prasad. So the idea was, yeah, we were minimizing our involvement in obtaining food. But then, because it was too much minimization, our consciousness got affected. After 3 or 4 days, it was just, huh? We started arguing with each other, or I was arguing with him, and it was chastising me, but whatever it was, I mean, we started arguing. And we noticed, you know, a drop in consciousness. So there was like too much minimization and not really following this injunction here should be satisfied by eating prasad. Because will Krishna accept something that is made by someone who is not Krishna conscious? I mean, sometimes there's some exceptions when you're traveling. I mean, there's that story about Prabhupada, he bought the samosas or something on the road, and he said, if you pay the price, it'll get purified. You know, that's an exceptional thing, and also it's Prabhupada. You know, I understand, I remember that particular story. But will Krishna actually accept this on a regular basis? I understand if one has, you know, one's starving to death or something like that, and one's going to die, or one's not going to have energy to preach. I mean, that's another thing. But on a regular basis, will Krishna accept that? Will Krishna accept if you buy potato chips? Will Krishna accept if you go to Pizza Hut and you order a pizza from Pizza Hut, you know, vegetarian? Will Krishna accept that? That's the question I'm raising. Because Krishna is a person. You know, that's also a relationship to this principle of niyamagraha, you know, offering things or doing your service without being conscious of Krishna while you're doing your service. In other words, ritualistically. Krishna's a person. I mean, we can say our prayers, do all the mantras and everything like that. But the bhakti mama vijananti, yavanyas chasmi tatvataha. You know, you gotta have devotion while you're doing something. Krishna's only by devotion can I be known. And also patram pushpam tavam toyam. Yome vata pariyachati. One offers me these things, you know, leaf, fruit, water, whatever, with devotion. That's the operative phrase there. Not simply one offers these things to me. So, you know, and even, you know, of course, in the temple, even if a lower creature sees something while you're preparing it, it's unofferable. I mean, you have that devotee, and I forget his name, in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, who's always looking for coconuts to offer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he would send off long distances away to have coconuts. And one time his servant sort of like touched the top of the doorway and touched the coconut at the same time. And then he told, I forget which devotee it is, he told him, throw it away. Because people are walking by here, the dust is actually hitting the top of the door and touching the coconut and touching it. you touch the hands and you're touching the coconut. So it's an offer. Of course, that's a deity standard in the temple. I understand we can't have that at home. However, you know, Krishna's a person, so he doesn't have to accept. I remember even sometimes we were doing deity worship, and you make an offering. It didn't happen with any of my offerings, thank God. But other people would make an offering, and you'd open up the curtains for our tea, and the plate would be on the floor. You know, in other words, the deities just say, get this stuff out of here. And we're not going to eat. You either didn't have the proper consciousness, or it's not clean, or whatever. So prasadam is something that doesn't mean food. I mean, sometimes in the Indian culture, they think the word prasad is synonymous with food. It means mercy. Something that's offered with love and devotion and right consciousness by a devotee to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So anyway, getting back to the story, when we were traveling, we noticed our consciousness was going down. So we had to make some endeavor to have bona fide prasad. And that endeavor was a little hard because we didn't have a kitchen. We were traveling in a cargo van. In the old days, Sankirtan vans meant cargo van. Cargo van meant that it was just completely empty. And so I had to figure out, how am I going to roll the chapatis in a cargo van? And so there's a wheel well in the back. And so it's a flat surface, sometimes flat. I think it has little ridges on it. Anyway, we put something on it. And we got a kerosene stove, which was, might be a little dangerous. And we were rolling the rotis or chapatis on there, and our consciousness went up. Of course, unfortunately, while I was rolling the rotis, we had someone else was driving the car, so it made it kind of hard with a kerosene stove, kind of dangerous, and I was holding on to everything as we were going around the corners. So that may have been over-endeavor. So, anyway, the point I am making is that sometimes we have to endeavor quite a bit to keep our consciousness pure. And another point, other than, of course, the point Prabhupada makes here is that if you eat food that's not offered to Krishna and not offered in yajna, then you're verily eating sin. Of course, Krishna says this in the Gita. One who eats without offering to me first is verily eating sin. So it's not some light thing. And Prabhupada did comment, instructing the devotees in the early days of the movement, that should not eat food cooked by non-devotees. I mean, these are important principles. So you have to make some endeavor. That's the point I'm making. You have to make some endeavor for these things and not expect everything just to march into your mouth. And it says here, when one is able, you know, food to march into your mouth and go to the grocery store, you know, chips. I know devotees get very lenient with these things, but the endeavor has to be there. And it says, when one is able to do this, in other words, minimizing in a practical way appropriate renunciation, he is firmly fixed in the position of a Mahatma. So this is some of the instructions from this particular verse. Prabhupada actually wanted us to show the simple living hiking as an example. And one of the things we talked about the other day at our meeting was that the purpose of the farm communities, where they're doing this, you know, simple living hiking, is to be connected to a city temple. Because the city temple, it's not that, if it's just a farm without a city, it doesn't work. So the city temple acts as the outreach place for the farm community to invite people to see. So in New Orleans and New Taliban, we have this perfect combination. And I was also thinking about the temple here, that we're actually a combination of a city temple and a farm temple. So if we expand, I sent a message to Leela Shakti the other day, you know, in the future when we get the Gurukul built and everything, we can expand our property. In other words, cut down some trees because we have enough property. But expand the property and do some farming here. And we may not be able to have oxen here, or we may, you know, because it needs people training. But the thing is, with oxen, you have to have someone training them every day, because oxen do have a habit of forgetting their training after a day. So it's not that you just go once a year. It's like your car you can put in storage. And I just told my mother, her car was in storage for like 8 months or something. You know, she had to replace the battery. And then it worked. But you can't do that with an oxen. Oxen has to be worked every day. And, you know, it's hard. One time I was working with an oxen and not training them up, but one day this devotee Balabhadra let me plow a field with an oxen, and it was hard work. I was just all over the place. I didn't have any energy to deal with it. So we may not be able to do that, but if we show, you know, at least ecological living, you know, simple living, and a good example of some gardening and farming, like they're doing in New Taliban now, because it's just nice to go to Taliban who's doing it, then we can attract people from the city. We have the ideal combination, because we can be a city temple and a country temple, and like a retreat center simultaneously. So this is a good vision for New Goloka. Simple living, high thinking, and preaching using this particular example, and also, you know, nice grahasthas who are living simply, serving the temple like this couple in Chicago. So, any questions or comments? We have about 2 minutes left. Yeah.
I just looked it up afterwards because I remember it's Raghava Pandit.
Raghava Pandit, yeah, it was
in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, they read 10, like 13 to 20. And I just wanted to read one thing quick. It says, Raghava Pandit never offered anything. Raghava Pandit never offered anything to the Lord that was not pure and of the highest quality, paying high prices for the best possible produce. Yet mangoes, jackfruit, bananas, and other foods brought from distant villages to be offered to his mahaprabhu deity. And then it says, one day a servant touched a coconut offering after his hand had brushed against the door frame. Raghava worried that dust from people's feet had surely touched the foodstuffs. Thus he rejected them as unsuitable for the deity and threw them away. And then it says that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, I'm just sorry for the ghost Swami has warned that one should understand that Raghava Pandit is an eternally perfect servant of Krishna and not some person with obsessive compulsive neurosis about cleaning.
That's actually a wonderful purport. Yeah, so of course when we offer bananas to the deities, they're coming from very far away too. Probably from Nicaragua or something like that. So we're following in his footsteps.
I have two questions.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't quite get the scenario when someone came on the altar and Krishna kicked the plate. What was the history on that?
Well, obviously the deities weren't too happy with the offering.
But where did it happen?
It happened several places, in San Diego, and where else did it happen? Maybe in Chicago. I was just in Chicago, and I actually helped with the installation of Kishore Vishori there. Mm-hmm. So, many years ago. San Diego, there's another story that the deities were so displeased with the service that one morning Subhadra disappeared.
Wow.
For the Jagannath deities. This happened years ago when Prabhupada was on the planet. They just found a spot where Subhadra was, you know, burned spot. And nothing else happened on the altar. She just went away. So the deities do express their displeasure. And sometimes in ways that are extremely obvious.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's very subtle. You know, the pujaris, they can, like Prabhupada asked, a pujari asked Prabhupada, is Krishna happy? And Prabhupada said, you're the pujari, you should know. So in other words, the pujaris know whether Krishna is happy. That's subtle. But for some of us, Krishna has to be a little more gross in his reciprocation. Okay, we'd like to welcome everybody who's joining us from Australia and Fiji. Jai, Sri Sri Radhagalokananda, Radhagalokananda ki jai.
Play the first one. Cigarettes. And these devotees, they said, why you don't smoke any cigarettes. And then it turns out it's the innocence. The doctor has severe lung damage. So, and then another devotee was in the very big temple of North America said that the people came to fix the air conditioning system to actually fix it or the maintenance or the maintenance on the air conditioning system. And they had to replace everything, basically all the big filters, little filters, thousands of dollars every few months. Because all the filters were black. From the air, from the incense. They don't have some of the
fire.
They don't have some from the incense.
No,
they don't have. They didn't have some of the incense. So, anyway, so you have to be careful. This is discussed in the duty. It's not coming from little old traumatic me, you know. It's, you know, just against certain things. It's coming from discussion of the whole GBC. And the discussion was, you know, the incense should be put out or should be cut very small, so you know, this small people. So, anyway, so there's a little health point. Because traditionally in Normandy, where they used a lot of incense, temples were open on the outside. Yeah, but like a Vrindavan temple, there's no windows or anything like that. So here we have windows. My pool was completely open. So it's a little bit different. So anyway, on that happy note, just to give everybody a little information, something important we just discussed. And it was a general theme. So. Okay. No,
blessings. Thank you for your blessings. Didi's always look happy when Hanuman Nanda is dressing.